From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up!
Wake up! Wake up!
WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, presented by
the vitamins.
Now here's WarChant.com's Aslan Hudjavandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! Wake Up WarChant, presented by Vitamin Energy. Robust show for you folks today. We are now inside the top 10 of the preseason, top 40 on WarChant.com. What does that mean for just how good the Noles can be on the field this coming season? Are the Noles in the midst of building a recruiting juggernaut with their 2025 class? And Link Jarrett locked in.
Good move.
Wake Up WarChant, presented by Vitamin Energy. VitaminEnergy.com, promo code WarChant BOGO. WarChant B-O-G-O. Buy one, get one free. Clinically tested, clinically proven, everybody. 260 milligrams of all-natural caffeine. No sugar. No sugar crash. That's always an important thing. Some of the numbers, 89% of participants in a 14-day clinical trial, Corey Clark, agreed that Vitamin Energy was effective at boosting their energy. 82 agreed that they felt energized quickly after taking the shot and were less fatigued throughout the day. 78% said it was effective at reducing brain fog. What else do you want? You want it for free. Yeah, so WarChant BOGO, VitaminEnergy.com. WarChant.com, the ultimate Seminole sports source. Head over there, thumbs up, five-star rating and review. We're getting ready, man. We're there almost. ACC kickoff on the horizon, Corey Clark. Football nearly upon us. How are you, friend?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. Sounds like I got out of Tallahassee in just the right time because it's been nothing but storms since I left. And in Atlanta, no storms. It's only like 106 heat index. So we are officially in summer, everyone. We made it.
Oh. Hey, I had this. I was thinking, which is always a dangerous thing. Maybe we don't need to do this because we're almost at the end of we're almost at the finish line or maybe the starting line, however you want to look at it. I was like thinking maybe we should do some sort of like summer school series on Wake Up here where we bring in people from various industries to, school our listeners, like maybe get somebody who's in finance to help us out with like portfolios, maybe get somebody in the fitness game to give us some ideas on.
Hey, you're already talking to one.
That's
buddy.
True. That's true. That.
But no, that's a joke. Man, this is a really good idea. But we're in July now.
Yeah. Like,
why did you just now think of this? We should have been doing this for the last 5 weeks.
I don't know. It's a good question.
But I think the thing is they have to be a member of WarChant, right? Because we have all walks of life.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way we don't have a fitness instructor. There's no way we don't have a finance guy or a lawyer or an engineer or a doctor or a nurse or whoever. We got all kinds of walks of life.
Yeah, I know, but the financial consulting guy is going to be like, well, technically I'm not allowed to give out advice unless you sign a form. And it's like, come on, man,
Just tell me what stock to buy and how much. That's all I'm asking.
I was watching The Big Short, so that got me thinking about things. I'm like, man, like, I've watched that movie probably like 10 times now, and I still get confused. Like, I get the gist of everything, but like, they really try to articulate and spell everything out. I'm like, yeah, don't understand. Lost me there.
I've never understood, and I think I read the book too, and I got a pretty good handle on the movie and shorting the housing market and all that, and how they. But who paid them? Like, these guys apparently made hundreds of millions or billions of dollars.
Right.
Who paid them? The banks? The mortgage companies?
No. I don't know.
All right. Well, so the banks were already in dire, dire straits. They had to get bailed out. And they got bailed out. Meanwhile, these 8 or 9 people got insanely rich off it?
Apparently.
Okay. All right. So I guess they're the good guys. Sort of. No. Not really, but sort of.
All right. While we were away
Ryan
on the weekend.
Gosling's best performance, by the way.
Who's?
Gosling. He's awesome in that movie.
Oh, yeah. No, like... people always ask, like, Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Gosling to women, or maybe women ask men who we think is cooler. But it's like that I love the character he plays in that. When he's in the bathroom and people are trying to use the bathroom, he's like, nope, leave. I'm on the phone. Like
in the Jenga scene with his buddy, assistant. Yeah, that's all really good. Anyway, folks, if you haven't seen it, it's probably a 10-year-old movie at this point. Go watch it. It's really good.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. While we were away on a weekend, we dropped a top 10 over on the WarChant.com message boards, WarChant.com as well for the subscribers.
We also dropped a column that you probably haven't read yet. I know you're right. You're always texting me, asking me when next column's coming out.
Right.
It came out by the time people are listening to this. It's about the recruiting haul that Florida State had, and now they're number 9 in the country. So let's get to that after we get to the top 10. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, because actually, as we record this, I think they're about to get a commitment from another player, so that may bump up their ranking as we speak. I think Gregory Zay Thomas is supposed to be committing here on Sunday evening as we record this, and all signs that he's going to commit to Florida State. So,
okay, Gregory Zay. Did you say Gregory Zay?
I guess he goes by Zay, like his nickname. It's Gregory Thomas, but I guess his friends call him Zay. Once we meet him, we can then maybe at that point start calling him and referring to him as Zay.
Right.
But in the meantime, we'll be professional. Don't have the audio set up, which just terrible. Failing at all walks of life over here today. But I want to talk about like maybe our top 6 through 10, Corey, because people can obviously find out what's going on over on warchant.com with the composite. We'll talk a little bit about all that stuff. We'll mix that in as well. But 6 through 10, I had Malik Benson at 10. You had Joshua Farmer.
Okay.
You feel good. You know, I'm like, all right, man, that's probably your number one wide receiver. That's probably your starting defensive tackle. Cool with it. I got Farmer at 9. You got Daryl Jackson at 9. I've got Jackson at 8. You've got Lawrence Toefili at 8. Mm-hmm. I had Toefili at 11, in case people were wondering. And then at 7, I've got Maurice Smith. You've got Darius Washington. I've got Darius 6th. You've got Shaheem at number 6. That's some good talent right there. Like now, yeah. Again, I wonder like how we need to gauge and project the season when, you know, there is a lot of question marks in that the bottom half of things, and as we kind of hit the teens, you're like, yeah, these are still kind of unproven pieces. But now that we're at this part of the top 20, and then kind of maybe looking at what last year was, you start thinking, all right, man, yeah, this probably should be the odds-on favorite to win the conference at minimum, no?
Well, yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, it's. I think they will be the preseason pick to win. Maybe Miami, because I mean, Miami's going to be good too. Or Clemson, I guess. Those are the three. Yeah. Those are the three top 12, 15-ish type teams. But yeah, man, you look at that talent. Like we've said, and that's not even the actual top 10, because the actual top 10, if you like, you know, again, we had a bunch of. I'm sure some people had Toefili in the teens, maybe 20s. Some guys had Shaheem much higher than I did at 6, even at 6. Malik Benson, I think I had higher than you. You have to remind me what the actual top 10 through 6 is.
You want it? Here you go.
Yeah, sure. Let's hear it. Let's hear what the official consensus is.
Yeah. Maurice at 10.
Yeah.
Shaheem at 9.
So, okay, hold on. I'm going to say Maurice, what is he, a 4-year starter? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Shaheem, 3-year starter.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Daryl Jackson, 8.
1-year starter. Thanks, NCAA. Before it just became all hell broke loose, you could do whatever you want, Daryl Jackson had to sit out a year and cost Florida State an undefeated. Oh, no, wait, they still went undefeated. Mm. Go ahead. Mm.
Marvin Jones Jr., number 6.
Okay, 0-year starter. Okay.
And he actually has a parenthesis and the number 2 by his name, which means he had 2 first place votes.
Don't know who gave him those. I guess we do know who gave him.
Well, I don't want to give that away, right? We haven't done the top.
Isn't it? It's on there though. He's 6th of overall, right?
Yeah, but we haven't done like the top 5.
Right, but he didn't make the top 5.
Okay, all right.
But I'm saying like it says below his name who voted for him where.
Oh, I don't have that pulled up. I got the actual spreadsheet.
Oh, you are a spreadsheet and fool. Yeah, no, it has the people because trust me, I have to do these, and I have to like go and tally. Who voted for what? And I'm like, I put Aslan, colon, in parentheses, 11.
Yeah, Matt, so, colon. All right. So, Marvin, Gene and I had him number 1.
Okay.
You and Ira had him number 5. Tom had him 7th. Jeff Cameron had him 11th. Matt Lasser had him 15th.
Okay, all right. So, 6 is where he landed.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that's ever happened before on a War Chant top 40 with a guy that had 2 first place votes not even being in the top 5. Yeah. Usually one guy gets all the first place votes, which again tells you about this team. And that's exciting, right? Like we think Marvin Jones is going to be good. We think he's an NFL player. We think he's probably an early round pick NFL player. We don't know for sure, but we think that. He's coupled with or paired with, however you want to phrase it, with a couple of wily veterans in Maurice Smith and Shaheem Brown who have been here and done that, and we know what they are. So I just think that's cool. That it's not – last year, you know, the top 10 was pretty cemented. It was pretty understood. This year, there's a lot of fluctuation. You have a guy that's not even in the top 5 overall that got 2 first-place votes, which also says how good we think he could be.
Mm-hmm.
It also says how good Florida State might need him to be. Like, if he's awesome, if he's Jared Verse-esque, Jared Verse-light, Jermaine Johnson-light-esque, however you want to say it,
yeah.
Just think about what that does to the defense, because you know what you got on the other side with Peyton. And then if this guy can live up to that potential that they think he has, that's going to be a nice duo.
Yeah, somebody took umbrage with me saying the generating discussion sparked by Cummins' topic last weekend that I pushed whenever I said a wash, comparing the 2012 defensive ends to this year's defensive ends. And
oh, really?
Yeah, based on like the productivity of what obviously that 12 unit did, Tank Carradine and Bjorn Warner, versus what Marvin Jones Jr. and Patrick Payne have done up to this point. Obviously, yes, 12 is ahead of them. But again,
they took umbrage the other way. Like, they couldn't believe that you chose. You said it was a, like, they couldn't believe that you had 2024 ranked even with 12.
Correct. Yes. And my thing is like, well, man, I'm projecting like based off another year of production. We'll be like, man, they were just as good at defensive end in 24 as they were in 12.
Which... Also, Lola Hea matters, right?
Like, yeah.
Lola Hea's in the mix, and I think he has the potential to be an NFL draft pick too. Now, that 2012 team got unlucky that Brandon Jenkins got hurt.
Mm.
Or that is an incredible trio.
Yeah.
And he was still an NFL draft pick. But Brandon Jenkins, remember, was a star before he got hurt. He had the Liz Frank injury, I think.
Yep.
And never really got back to what he was. That didn't even really come close. But if you throw him into the mix, then, yeah, you're this isn't as good as that group. But he wasn't in the mix. And I don't know who Bjorn's and Tank's backups were. I can't remember. But the fact that I can't remember – means they I don't think they were anything special. Mario Edwards wasn't who he became to be in 2012. He was a true freshman that, when he did play, wasn't all that impressive. So I think that when you look at this year's team, you have a veteran that's been a two-year starter, another kid that was a five-star, super-duper prospect that's coming from Georgia, and then another kid that was all Pac-12 last year, second team. That's three guys that might be NFL players and are going to produce. They're probably not going to produce. The three of them combined, if they can produce at the level that Tank and Bjorn produced at, just the two of them, that's a really good year. Because Tank, I think, I want to say, like, Tank led them in tackles that year. He had like 90-something tackles as a defensive end. And obviously Bjorn had a ton of sacks and was an All-American candidate, or All-American, I guess. So that was a really good defensive end combo.
Christian Jones has put some respect on my name, Corey Clark. I led the team in tackles in 2012.
Oh, okay. And that was, ironically, that was before he was a defensive end.
And by
they moved
one.
Him to defensive end in 13.
By the way, so he played in all 14 games, Christian Jones, and he had 48 tackles. Tank played 12 and had 47. I'm sorry. No, never mind. That was
what?
Unassisted.
I thought Tank had like 91.
He had 80. Tank had 80. Christian Jones had 95.
Okay.
So not nearly as big.
Christian Jones. So was Tank second?
Yeah.
Where was Vince? I guess Vince was splitting time with Talvin Smith.
Yeah. He was fourth. 59 total tackles, 6.5 TFLs for Vince. Golly, Bjorn had 18 sacks and 13 sacks to 18 TFLs.
Man, you've read stat pages before, right? You're all over the place, Aslan.
Well, because, for loss. Why does it, shouldn't it be sacks and then the TFLs? Like, this adds up to this sum, as opposed to like.
I agree.
I'm just saying.
I agree with you. But yeah, Bjorn was awesome. And Tank Carradine, I think, was a second round pick, either early third or second round pick, and obviously Bjorn was a first round pick. That was quite a tandem. But that wasn't. I think there's a chance. There's a chance that this trio, and maybe Byron Turner Overdrive. It plays a lot and produces more than he did this past year. Maybe he takes that step or someone else. But this trio has a chance to maybe equal what that duo did.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it's not too far-fetched to think that Jones – I mean, I'm not going to even count Lola Hay in this, although I do realize the fact that he's going to have an impact on this team this year. But, like, you know, Tank had 11 sacks. Bjorn had 13. I don't think that's, like, an unnecessarily high bar to set for a guy like Marvin Jones Jr. And a guy, I mean, because listen, Marvin Jones Jr. came here for a reason. Like, he wants to be on the field, he wants to rush off the edge, and he wants to make a lot of money. And right. Patrick Payton is waited his turn, and it's kind of his time to shine. So I feel like both those guys, if you want to, I mean, if you put the over under at, you know, 23.5, I don't think saying over is ridiculous. It might be like plus 120, you know, for them to actually go over. But I think it's reasonable. So
yeah, again, when you throw Lola Hay into the mix, because I feel like Bjorn and Tank were on the field all the time.
Yeah.
When you throw Lola Hay into the mix and you have a rotation going, that could compare. But yeah, Bjorn was awesome. Marvin's got a lot to prove to try to fill somebody like Bjorn or Tank's, for that matter, shoes, because they were both very, very good college football players, and he hasn't proven to be that yet. But he could be. Heck, he could be better than both of them combined. Who knows? He might be the next Lawrence Taylor. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm saying Jermaine Johnson, Jared Verse, you know, did not really prove it or show it until they got here,
right.
And all of a sudden they did it. So I'm gonna think history's gonna repeat itself. Yeah, Jenkins obviously listed at end. Mario, Chris Casher, although I doubt he got on the field. How about this name, Toshman Stevens?
Yeah, old 96.
That was my guy, man. Yeah. I was thinking, I'm like, oh, that frame. Get a couple of years in that weight room with Vic Valoria. Oh man.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Quite materialized. But yeah, so that's the thing. I get why somebody would push back when you look at who Bjorn and Tank were. But again, it was two of them, not three of them. And the three of them maybe could come close to equaling that production. All three of them might be NFL guys. I think Lola Hea is the wild card.
Yes.
He could be much better than we realize. Again, it's not like the Pac-12 was a bad conference last year.
No.
It was a good conference, and he was second team all Pac-12. He's not going to rack up 11 or 12 sacks, but he's going to be a very important part of this defensive line. And he's an old dude. He's going to contribute, and that's going to be a fun trio to watch. Hopefully somebody can make it a quartet. Just don't know who that's going to be yet.
Last year, 6 through 10, starting at number 10, Jeremiah Byers. Number 9 was Patrick Payton. Mm-hmm. Number 8 was Daryl Jackson.
Yeah.
Number 7, Keon Coleman. Number 6, Jaheim Bell.
That's about right. I mean, obviously, Keon probably be a little higher now. But, I, you know, you'd have to put him in front of who? Travis, Verse, right. Benson. Like, he was behind some good guys, but Johnny maybe. But, yeah, it was a good top 5, good 10 through 6 last year as well.
I wonder where Jaheim would be if we regraded everything. He's outside the top 10, right?
Yeah, yeah. He'd be, I'd say, 17 or so. And that's just a bummer because he was hurt. He wasn't quite the guy. He didn't have the impact that we thought he'd have because of the – he would have been – I mean, just remember the LSU game.
Right.
It would have been that – in the Boston College game, I think he had a good game too. They robbed him of a touchdown. He might have had another one. When he was healthy, you saw him, you saw what he was going to be. He was going to be awesome, and then he just kind of, didn't materialize because of the ankle. Mm.
Do you want to know 6 through 10 from 2020?
Oh, no.
Number 10, Kalen Laburn.
Okay.
I put him the highest. I had him at number 4. You had him lowest. You had him at number 23.
Yeah.
Number 9, DJ Matthews. I had him ranked the highest out of the bunch. I have him at number 8. Corey had him the lowest at number 20.
All right. So far, I'm doing okay with
this. Corey Durden, 8. Which just makes no sense, as Azlan had him the highest at number 9, but he finished at 8.
Well, if they were all 9s and 10s, then maybe the points added up to being the 8th overall.
Ira had him the lowest at number 18. Darius Washington, number 7, unless there was another D. Washington that escapes my mind in 2020. He was in everyone's top 15. Jay Sean Corbin, everyone's top 10. He was number 6.
Yeah, all right. How about Darius? A return to the top 10. I don't think he's been in the top 10 since. And now is after what has he played? 111 games. He's back in the top 10 again. Good for you, Darius.
Oh man, fantastic.
He's going to be an NFL player, I think, right?
I mean, Mike Norvell says he's going to be an All-American, so
well, that in because of the versatility too. Like they love the NFL teams what can only dress like 9 linemen, 8 linemen, something ridiculous. So they like guys that can play multiple positions, and this guy has played multiple positions and played them well, and is going to be a mature guy that can probably get in and at least be in the rotation right away, or you won't be embarrassed if you play him right away. I think he's got a chance to be an NFL player, maybe be one for a good long while.
Which is crazy. I mean, I know in 19, when he was a true freshman, they threw him in the fire. And we kind of thought that was due to – I mean, this was the previous coaching staff, obviously. This is Willie Taggart and Randy Clements. And we just thought it was, you know, by sheer necessity, but they really, they liked Darius. They really thought like Darius had a very bright future, But then he injured his shoulder towards the end of that season, which, and I wonder how much of that, you know, Robert Scott's injuries is part of the same reason of like being probably thrust into duty way too early and the body not being able to kind of hold up to what it needed to be. But, you know, Darius finally had enough runway to finally get right towards the end of like maybe 22. And then obviously last season for sure. So, yeah, it's kind of good to see that that one work out, because that was one of those other, you know, under-recruited, didn't have a lot of stars by his name. Like, well, we'll trust that they know what they're doing, the staff. And
but that shows you, man, like where that program was, because Darius Washington in 2020 was not Darius Washington of 2024. I mean, think about that, man.
Right, yeah.
Like he was 18, 19, whatever he was, and that's how high he was ranked then. That's where you were on offensive line. Is that you had a kid that should have still been getting stronger and not been thrust into action, being one of the 10 most important players on your football team. That's why you looked like you did in 2020.
Yeah. We did just a stall as we wait for this kid, I think, to commit. There was a question at the bottom of the mailbag that I did not get to, so I want to get to it. Apologize to C. Swizzle 8. We know Norvell's great at adapting play style and scheme to fit personnel that we've had each year he's been here, which can be different year to year. After watching spring with the new running back room, which season in Norvell's tenure would you say most aligns with how the running backs will be used this upcoming season? For some reason, Roydell reminds me of LaDainian Webb and that he is a speedy bowling ball, obviously more upside, which also brought me back to Corey's Webb Toe nickname, by the way.
Well, no. Now, remember, he and Toa Feely, it was the Webb Toe backfield, or the, what was it? What I call him? The
it was Webb Toe.
Yeah, but didn't I call them the Seagulls? Because they
Gull, yeah.
The Gull backfield. Yeah. That didn't take off like I thought it would, Aslan. I thought that was going to
We betrayed you. We betrayed you on not pushing it hard enough.
Well, and also it didn't help that the team looked like it did that year, and they didn't win a lot of games, and then he left. I had a chance, though. It was percolating. Mm. It probably would have been on the – they would have included it on the EA Sports game if it had just broken a certain way. Mm. So he's saying Roydell would be like Webb?
Yeah, he thinks he that's what he sees. Or is there any unit, any backfield segment, 20, 21, 22, 23, that most aligns with what they've got this season?
Yeah, I just don't – the running styles to me are different, but I think it's like what 2021 you had Corbin and Trayshawn Ward, and then Toa Feely mixed in. I think this year you have Toa Feely and Roydell Williams with Jalen Lucas mixed in. So I think it's going to look like the 2021. But I'm not saying that Roydell runs like LaDainian did, or that – well, Toa Feely does run like Toa Feely did. He's Toa Feely. But like that that Jalen Lucas was Toa Feely from 21, or Toa Feely runs like Jayshon Corbin did then. All that, I'm just saying, like, you know, you kind of thought of Corbin as like the tough yardage guy. Right. Big kid, could get you some yards, but he also had like an 80-yard run, a 90-yard run against Notre Dame. Like, he was a big play guy too. I just think the production that you're looking for in the way they're used, like I kind of feel like they're going to – I know we like Toa Feely as a guy coming out of the back. He's obviously a good pass catcher. They'll use him some in that capacity. But I think they'd like him as just like a regular running back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're going to call the game differently with Toa Feely in the game than they would with Roydell. Maybe Roydell gets more short yardage stuff. But Trayshawn Ward got short yardage carries over Jayshon Corbin at times. Like, I think they like their running backs to be able to do a bit of everything so they don't tip their hand and be predictable. And I think that I think it could look a lot like 21, where it's two main guys that split 80% of the carries. Mm. And then there's this other wild card that comes in and can hit some home runs like Toa Feely did back in even when he was a sophomore.
Who do you think Roydell's more like, LaDainian or more like Jayshon?
I think like Jayshon. LaDainian was a weird guy, man. Like he was a good runner. Where did he go? Where he still ran for a ton of yards.
South Alabama.
Right? Yeah, and Laburn ran for a lot of yards at Marshall. Ended up being a good backfield. But he didn't have that breakaway speed Webb didn't. He was a short in stature guy, but those thick legs, he could bounce off dudes, and he could hit some – well, they weren't home runs. He could hit a lot of doubles because he wouldn't break off 90-yarders, but he'd break off a good number of like 22, 25-yarders, it seems like. So I think Roydell can probably be that caliber, not caliber, that kind of running back, where he can hit a lot of doubles. He's probably not going to hit you a lot of home runs. Toa Feely and Lucas are the home run hitters, I think.
I feel like Corbin busted off an 80-yarder against somebody, but it escapes me which game.
I just said it. It was Notre Dame.
Was it Notre Dame?
Yeah, I think right. I think he had like it was like 88 or 90 yards, the overtime game.
Sorry, I'm monitoring monitors, several monitors. Yeah, we'll go ahead and talk about the recruiting thing because that's happening very late at night. I mean, it's a Sunday. What do you? He's going to do like at 9 o'clock at night almost, which is tipping in the hand of what time we're recording at. But I digress nonetheless. Yeah, of course. Like a week ago, people are kind of panicking, and I'm not pointing fingers and shaming anybody that's listening to the podcast. I get it. Like recruiting is a very stressful industry, and like when you tap into it and you're fully immersed, it's like looking at your IRA or your 401k every single day, which I advise not to do that.
Yes.
I advise going to warchant.com every single day, so that helps fund my 401k. So yeah, keep looking at recruiting every single day. But obviously. Some other schools are building some traction. You might not have nearly as many guys committed. And that kind of all changed over the course of like a 72-hour window last week where they pulled the C.J. Wiley kid. They pulled Kevin Wynn, both those kids from Georgia. Again, you can roll your eyes and say whether or not they'll stick or not. But, everybody else is in the same boat as well. Nobody else was able to sign. Everybody else is a verbal commitment everywhere else they've been. They pulled the tight end. That's a 4-star out of Nebraska. They pulled a 4-star from Southwest Florida. And Myron Charles, that people were panicked that Texas was like surging and late on. And then I'm going to go ahead and pull in Marius Mims, and we're just going to operate under the assumption that they're going to get this Gregory Thomas kid. They have put together a really nice, they are very much alive as the dead period has started, Corey. Have you been impressed by anything in particular? What's the crux of the column up on warchant.com?
Yeah, basically it's what we talked about last week that was kind of enlightening, and it should have occurred to me earlier, but I people know how valuable I think the portal is. I don't think it's just the stopgap. I think you can, I don't think you can build a program that way, but you can certainly help bolster teams and rosters. And Florida State, frankly, had to do it. But what was so startling is when we read the top five transfer portal classes, and you're rubbing elbows with Louisville and Colorado and Ole Miss. And then you look at the top five recruiting classes, and what do you know? It's LSU, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Oregon,
Texas.
Clemson, yeah. Texas A&M, I think, was in there, which is the only one out of those teams that hasn't won anything ever. But all those other teams are really good programs. And so the point of the column is like, okay, you look where Florida State is now. They're ninth in the On3 recruiting rankings. Maybe these other commitments will raise them into the top five. I think there's a chance with some of the guys they're on that they could definitely do that. And that's kind of where you want to be. Like, we don't know yet. There's not enough data points. There's not enough data yet to understand just how you can restructure and rebuild these rosters. And is it tenable to sustain a program where all of your many of your best players are transfers? Man, I know which neighborhood I would want to live in. That's the column. Basically, that was essentially the column I wrote, and I went down that, and I use that analogy quite a bit. But, yeah, I want to live in a neighborhood with LSU and Alabama and Ohio State, not Colorado and Louisville. No offense, Dion and it's not Satterfield.
Brom.
Who's all right? Brom. Yeah. No, no offense to those guys but in those programs, but they're not Florida State caliber. Never have been, except for one little tiny window in the early 90s. No, neither one of those teams has ever been close to what Florida State is. So you know what? That's not if it's still good enough for LSU and Georgia and Ohio State, Florida State now showing that they're not just recruiting with these guys; they're getting commitments against those guys. Like like you mentioned, Texas wanted a kid that Florida State got. Georgia wanted the wide receiver. Like they're starting to win these types of battles too. That was the last step, I thought, the last box to check for Norvell and company. And it's a big box to check. I just think he's always going to use the portal. It'd be dumb not to, right, everyone?
Dabo.
It would be dumb just not to use the portal at all. It's frankly stupid. But to build a program to sustain it, I still feel like until proven otherwise, it's to get these high school kids and keep them. And that's obviously the next step. But, look, as we all know, it's July 1st. So commitments we know what commitments mean. They don't mean much until December. They don't mean much until they're on campus, until they're at a spring game, and then they're playing in your, on your football team. We get that. But, man, it's nice to be in this neighborhood again if you're Florida State, where you're literally, like, you're in the top 10 with LSU and Bama and Georgia. And, even more importantly, Aslan, if you go by the average recruit ranking, Florida State is second to LSU in the caliber of player they're getting, the quality of player they're getting. And we know rankings, they're not an exact science, clearly. But in the caliber of player they're getting right now as we talk in July, they are second in the country in average ranking, star ranking, whatever you want to say.
This is true.
Man, that's big-time stuff, man. That's how you sustain a program. And it's proven that when you win, it's Florida State's more attractive again. So, again, it's just another step. It's not like if Florida State was 16th right now or 23rd, I'd be like, oh, God, Norvell's lost it. Get Kiffin on the phone. You wouldn't be freaking out. But he had accomplished everything else. He had developed a quarterback. He had improved an offensive line drastically. He had changed a culture. He had brought in real NFL players and just got 10 guys drafted. All those other steps along the way, all those other boxes you want to check off, well, this is the next one, is consistently top 5, top 10 recruiting classes. Because until proven otherwise, until we stop seeing Ohio State and Michigan and Notre Dame and Clemson and Georgia on these lists every year, I still feel like that matters a good bit. And that's good that they're now in that neighborhood with those teams.
Yeah, man, well said. Gregory Thomas, he's a four-star. So right now as we record this, LSU is at 92.71 average rating. They're the number one team in that metric. Florida State's number two, as Corey referenced. They're 92.43.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, so maybe
get
another
up there,
four-star.
Zay. Get them up 92.72.
That
come
might
on.
Bump them up. Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I feel like I sometimes am being hypocritical or talking out both sides of my mouth, because I've long said that I really do think that, you know, the portal is sustainable. I mean, I think building a championship caliber program is entirely sustainable and viable by using the transfer portal to a large degree of it. Again, you know, if Florida State's quarterback doesn't get hurt, we have like real life example to fall back
right
on. But unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. I just, you know,
well, I think even still it worked. That's a good right example to fall yeah back on. Yeah.
And we've, you know, we're excited about a lot of the guys that they've brought back in to help fill those gaps that have been lost. But I do wonder, you know, like guys like Braden Fisk, like Verse, it's like the intangible stuff that was so different. But then you also kind of think about these guys, Marvin Jones Jr., Lola Hea, you know, Tomiwa. These guys are walking into a considerably better situation in terms
yep
of culture. So maybe that should help alleviate like my concerns about, like, listen, man, you got lucky, man. Like, all the stars aligned. You got a Keon Coleman. You had a Johnny Wilson. You had Trey Benson stick around. Jared Verse stuck around. You know, like, all these things lined up. Like, Tanner Bethune stuck around a little bit longer than maybe he wanted to. It's like, I don't know how often you can replicate that, but you're like, man, you just think about all the leadership they have, the coaching staff, how much everyone buys into their messaging. You're like, you know, not to take anything away from who those individuals are as young men, like a Braden Fisk or a Jared Verse, but you just feel like they're good at identifying guys and then bringing everybody together and maintaining a standard. So, like, why not continue to use this thing?
Yeah, no, and they will. I'm not saying that they wouldn't.
Yeah.
They always think they. I mean, Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State use it too. Ohio State just got Caleb Downs from it. Like, you can still use it, but I think it's more about plugging gaps and not just building a whole roster. And not that they built their whole roster the last couple of years, but most of their star players were guys that, you know, came in. Renardo Green was not. Kalen DeLoach was not. You know, Josh Farmer is not. Patrick Payton is not. Shaheem Brown. These are all guys that are homegrown. So you can't, you know, they did bring in a lot of good defensive players, we think, but they're also, you know, they're going to have at least six starters, I think, that are homegrown guys on the defense. And we think they're good. DJ Lundy, Brown, Green, Azarie. Like, so they've got, you're starting to see how Georgia and Ohio State live. Like, okay, push it moving forward. Yep, you're losing these three guys, you're losing these five guys, but look at the dudes behind them. Like, let's say Azarie leaves next year. Hmm. Well, you might not have to go get another Fentrell Cypress because you got Quindarius Jones. Hmm. You know, you've got guys that have come up through the system that are good, and also more, you've got Charles Lester. You got guys that are good, that are highly higher ranked, that are probably better. not the Nazarier, but then what the backups from 2 years ago, the backups are now better. Yeah. They're just better. And that's how, again, that's how you sustain it. And I just think that this was the last thing, is to see, okay, man, can you recruit with these high school, these powers? Because LSU and Ohio State, they're not appearing in the top five of portal rankings. They don't have to.
Yeah.
Is Florida State going to get to that point where they don't have to appear in the portal rankings because they're effing Florida State and they are recruiting like Florida State did for 30 years before the fall? This is what Florida State is supposed to do. This is the neighborhood they're supposed to live in.
But does Mike Norvell like dealing with a 17-year-old kid more or a 21-year-old kid more?
Well, of course, the 21-year-old. But the beauty of it, Aslan, is that, yeah, like even next year, they might still go get 8 or 10 more portal guys. I don't know. But probably, if he lands a really good class this year, what is it going to look like in 26?
How many of these have they already had one of these classes, or do you think this class, like 25, this is like maybe the first one that is comparable to what Georgia, Alabama, Texas have used? And how many of these do they need to where they then go from major usage of the portal to being very picky and only having like 4 or 5 guys they want to add?
Yeah, I think it'll be another couple of years, probably, maybe just a year. You know, because the main thing, man, and this is, again, we talked about this last week, we talked about it on headlines, offensive line, that's you kind of want to build from within there.
Okay.
Just again, small sample size, not a lot of data, but you don't see a lot of great offensive lines being built by the portal. It's the ones that have really good ones are the ones that they're together for a good long while. They come up through the system. The great ones don't typically transfer. Same with quarterbacks. Some of them do. But most of these quarterbacks stay put, the really good ones. So quarterback and offensive line, you kind of want to build from within. And I think that that's what they're going to be trying to do. But in that regard, with that sentiment, of course all the guys they signed this year on the offensive line, none of them are playing next year. You hope by 26 they're playing, and you're not going to have to go get, no offense, you're not going to have to go get a Casey Roddick or a Dimitri Emanuel. Fine, Knowles won a lot of games. But you're already going to have him on the roster. So that's all. I think that's – when it comes to the offensive line, which is what I think they're going to be good, that they apparently they have a chance to have a really good class on the offensive line. Those guys won't be ready next year. But some of these guys from the last couple of years at other positions could be, should be. Linebacker, maybe, looking at you. Maybe some wide receivers are going to step up. Tight ends. Like they've hit some – they've got some really nice commitments the last few years, and that's how it's supposed to work. They're supposed to learn, grow, and then when it's their turn, shine. And I think they're getting – well, I don't think. I know they're getting closer to that point.
Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, 2475 Appalachia Parkway. Daily lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for only $8.99. Side dish of your choice as well. Half-pound all-black Angus beef burger today on the menu from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Take advantage. Don't forget, tomorrow, Tuesday, trivia night. 7 o'clock kickoff, Corey?
For trivia, yeah, 7 o'clock, absolutely.
There you go, everybody. 2475 Appalachia Parkway, cptallybar.com on the website. And should have said this on the other show last week, but just so you know, plan in your mind, everybody, when there's a UFC going on, underneath the CP, down below, 7th Hill Tap Room. A little bit of a cover charge, but that just helps keep some of the riffraff away. Enjoy high-end mixed martial arts and really good beer on draft, on tap, at the 7th Hill Tap Room. Both of those owned by Bill. Great Knoll. Yes, Corey?
Yeah. Yep. Great, oh, 100%. 88 graduate.
Let's
His
go.
Last game as a college student was the Dion interception game in the Sugar Bowl.
Let's go.
Auburn.
All right. Check it out, Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. All right, Corey, on the way out, we don't have numbers on this, but Link Jarrett, first off, there's a report out there after Texas A&M actually found their coach, which they promoted from within, their hitting coach, which Jim Schlossnagel apparently was trying to take with him to Austin, but he stuck around to take the job, head job in College Station. Kendall Rogers reported there was a big run made at Tony Vitello. They shot their shot, lots of money thrown at him, but he said
he's the Tennessee coach. For the people that don't know, he's the coach at Tennessee.
I feel like we talked enough about baseball that people know that on the show, but I appreciate you pointing that out, Corey. You're right. That's the right thing to do. That is the right thing to do. That was the number one guy, I think, on the list that he talked about, and probably also on A&M's list.
Sure.
They also went after Brian O'Connor from Virginia. Link Jarrett, according to Kendall Rogers, was never an option for the Aggies. Link loves Florida State, and he went back with Mike Martin's blessing. There was no way he was turning his back on the Noles.
Okay. All right, Kendall. Sure.
With that said,
no, that sounded sarcastic. I didn't mean it to be. I feel like we thought that all along anyway.
Right, right. But you never know. I mean, you have to make the phone call and then maybe you listen. But yeah, I just don't.
Well,
think
you know what? I think I was being sarcastic with he went back with Mike Martin's blessing.
Oh right.
I feel like
yeah.
Who did we all know who Link replaced? Right, so right. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
So with all that said, Florida State has gone ahead and extended. Link Jarrett. We don't have financials right now, but I have to imagine he's going to be north of $1 million American.
20 years, $28 million. That's what I would offer him.
Is that the Shohei special?
Yeah, well, yeah, except Shohei would...
A couple more zeros?
Yeah, I was going to say, Shohei wouldn't know what to do with that money. He'd have to sell everything and stop gambling. Shohei, come on, man. Yeah. If you're going to gamble this much, be a better gambler. Get some help. Good grief. Or get a better interpreter, get better people around you. But anyway, with Link, yeah, who knows what it is. But, again, you kind of want to give him a lifetime contract. I don't think that's risky at all. There are risks to these other guys sometimes where you're like, okay, was that a one-year wonder? Was that a blip? Is Link going to be this guy in 10 more years? And, obviously, he's not going to get a lifetime contract. But he might get a 10-year one. And I feel like Link is wired where you know Link Jarrett in 2034 – is going to be the same guy as Link Jarrett in 2024. I just think he's built that way. There's no and he's going to have a good product. There's no real risk there at all.
Not being a jerk here, would you have said anything even similar about Jimbo Fisher in 2012?
You know, I think I brought this up before. I can't.
And I love you, Link, and obviously I love Jimbo.
I just can't remember if it was this show or the or our headlines or both, but. I remember talking to Jimbo, just kind of shooting the breeze after one of his press conferences on Monday where we all kind of gathered around, and it was all, you know, sort of off the record, blah, blah, blah. But he was talking about, this was back in probably 11 or 12, probably 12, where he's like, look, it's hard to stay at a job more than 8-10 years anymore. Nobody stays at a job for over 8 years. He goes, Nick, he might have mentioned Saban, but this was before, this was when Saban had only been there 5 years. And remember, Saban almost went to Texas. Like, it's just, he was talking about how hard it is to stay at one job for a long time. So when he told me that, it made me think, okay, he doesn't really expect to be here in 2020. Otherwise, if you'd have asked me, I would have said, yeah, because he's got it set up perfectly. He's in the ACC. He recruits like an SEC coach. He puts together an SEC roster in SEC talent. But he's in the ACC. He should ride this off into the sunset. But no. He chose to chase the sun into the tumbleweeds of Texas and jump took him and his horse, and they jumped off the canyon down into the gulch.
So, again, yeah, we don't have the numbers, but I'm with you on this. I just, you know, I wonder, like, what's the, you know, what would be the drawbacks of going that long? Just, but
I guess I'm
stable.
Saying
he's stable. His family's here. His wife's family's
correct.
Here, which, by the way, his wife, apparently we got a correction. From a listener. So his wife was an actual cheerleader, everybody, which we were debating whether or not she was a cheerleader.
I knew there
coach.
Was a connection to Florida State cheerleading, but she was actually a Florida State cheerleader.
Yes.
I assume that's what she was doing when they met.
Yes.
No.
Captain,
she might, but
captain
she's,
her senior year, by the way.
For all we know, we haven't really done the Link Jarrett, the Jarrett
story.
Family love story.
Yeah.
We haven't had the – I don't know when they met. They might have met in the fourth grade for all we know.
Or Ken's on a Friday night, you know.
Yeah, she's – no, I mean fourth grade. Hopefully they're not at Ken's on a Friday night in the fourth grade.
I know, or – I'm saying or at Ken's on a
Friday
night.
Oh, I got
when
you.
Like,
sorry,
you know,
sorry.
Freshmen.
They could have met at Lofty Pursuits. Shout out. They're not a sponsor. What did I say
not.
That for?
Strike that from the record.
but yeah, I was talking about like the risk being – yes, Link might leave for another challenge, a lot more money. From Florida State's side of it, there is no risk.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of my point is – that guy is going to be as good. He's going to be the same guy in 10 years as he is now. They're going to have a similar product that they have now because I just don't – I don't foresee him not having really good baseball teams. I just think that's who he is. That's in his DNA. And so locking him up for however long it is, 8 to 10 years, I'm sure the contract is ironclad too, Aslan.
Oh, yeah.
As we talk about on here, there's no way he could get out of this. He's locked and loaded. He can't go anywhere. Sorry, fam. Sorry, Link. You're here for life. But I just think from Florida State's side of things, and I don't say this lightly, but you've seen enough from that dude to know he is the truth, and he is going to be a great steward for your baseball program as long as he's here. So absolutely lock that dude up.
Would it be cheesy if you gave him an 11-year deal for $11 million?
I feel like he'd like it to be $22 million. But no, that's not cheesy. I think that's yes.
So okay, O'Sullivan signed a contract in February this past year that's going to go to 29. He's going to make an average of $1.84 million a year.
Okay, so make it 1.6 or something. You don't have to compete with Florida.
I mean, Link's mate was making 800.
Okay, so get him to 1.2, 1.3, okay. Something like that. Something Link can live on. You know, with inflation in Tallahassee, it's outrageous, folks. It's outrageous, gang. But with Link, I think you don't have to chase the money. I don't think you have to keep up with like whatever they just paid Schlossnagel. I think you were going to get. You talk about hometown discounts. I feel like he's going to give you an all-time type of hometown discount. But to answer your other question, I think it would be a little cheesy to go 11 years because then that kind of trivializes it and makes 11's not about money. So let's not bring 11 into the money. How about going and winning 11 national titles?
But it's like it's our love for him, and like we believe in you, the way that like because of how awesome like he's the standard of excellence is 11. So like we believe in you so much, we're going to give you an 11-year deal. But as we're talking about as we're talking about this, you guys are going to probably get the official details on it. As we talk about it, we don't have it.
All right. Okay. If it's going to be 10, if it's like 10, go ahead and make it 11. Sure.
Yeah. So. And then one other thing on the way out, Corey, thinking about all this stuff with Schlossnagel and this also would apply to anybody in coaching. I know these coaching contracts and you made a good joke about how these are all really ironclad and everything. And the universities are always really heavily protected and guarded when they sign these contracts with their head coaches. Do you think we'll ever have any, there's clauses in coaching contracts here in the last few years where it was like, if you leave us for this other job, you need to play us. It was like, so if you leave us for, Texas, you have to schedule Florida State on your football schedule.
It's like Norvell with Memphis?
Yeah. I don't know if that as the case with him, but I know some coaches actually had that.
Yeah.
What about like you cannot bring more than X amount of players with you? Like you can't tamper with the roster on your way out the door? Or is there no way to really ever prove that?
Hey, let me ask you this. Would Schlossnagel have declined to go to A&M if they had included in that contract?
Or declined to go to Austin? Declined to go to Austin, you mean?
No, I'm saying when he signed with A&M 3 years ago.
Oh, from TCU, okay.
If they had put it in his contract, hey, and if you leave for another job, because these crazy buyouts, we know you're not going to pay us anything. You are not allowed to take a single player that's currently on the roster with you. They are not allowed to transfer. That will be a breach of the contract. Whatever you say, you are not allowed to do that. And he signs it. Do you think he would have not signed it? I don't want to come then. You're not going to let me take these hypothetical guys 3 years from now, I'm not coming. Of course they'd sign it. But nobody puts stuff like in that to protect the programs. Now, look. Is he really you can't dictate. What if the kid really wants to go play with him?
Right.
That's not fair to the kid necessarily, but yes, it would be nice if stuff like that was worked into contracts, but it won't be because then that would benefit the universities, and these contracts never, ever do.
All right, well, stay connected to warchant.com. We'll have details of the contract as we get them. Ira has confirmed with source at the university that it is indeed happening here. So that's awesome. Yeah, Link, that's good, man. I like Link.
Yep, me too.
Very happy for this. Jeff Cameron Show, 1 to 3 o'clock. Recruiting news coverage over on the PRB, Premium Recruiting Board, around the clock. Go check it out. I'm sure if Gregory Thomas has indeed committed to Florida State, we have reaction. So go check that stuff out. We'll have to do like a production meeting, Corey, after I hit stop record on this, since we have the 4th of July weekend coming up here. Is it really, does it count as the 4th of July weekend because it falls like on a Thursday?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think so, but maybe it does. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it.
Yeah, so we might like knock out shows back to back here and maybe give you guys a little bit of a lull towards the end of the week because I got to go home and hang out with my family and stuff. I haven't seen them in a minute. But we'll get that figured out, and we'll have a thread over on the warchant.com Tribal Council to get involved in the Renegade Express and generating discussion with Cummins, winning free gear. And we also have to do our drawing for the monthly winner from the month of June, because it's July 1st. Camp's going to open up in less than freaking 4 weeks, everybody. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? He's Corey Maslow. Thanks for listening to Wake Up War Chant, presented by Vitamin Energy.